Welcome to the Evening Booze Hour.
Episode 122, my lucky number.
Oh my God, that's like your birthday too. Yeah, exactly. 122.
Yeah. Yeah. January 22nd, 122. Oh,
it's your other birthday episode. Happy birthday.
Oh my God, thank you. So much older and wiser now. Oh my God. No, this is going to be a good one because, guys, it's February now, and you know what that means. Dry January is over.
That's right.
Liz has been drunk for the past 3 days nonstop. I'm just kidding. She's on a binge.
I'm reporting live from a gutter in an alley.
It's where you do your best podcasting, I think. So, oh my God, yes, dry January is over. Liz is just stuffing back her face with meat and beer. Yep.
Yes. Yes, both. Both of them. I had a hamburger. I had like definitely some meat and cheese at the Super Bowl party this last weekend. Some little smokies. Oh yeah.
Yes. Liz is living the dream right now in her meat and booze glory.
My stomach was like a little protesting this morning, I think, after like 48 hours. But
yeah, it's like, okay, calm down.
Exactly. But yeah, no, I'm back. I probably will start not knowing how to pronounce things very shortly. And yeah, tonight I am drinking, surprise, surprise, a Truly, but not just any Truly. It is this new Truly Lemonade Hard Seltzer. Have you seen these?
No.
And they had, like, we got a variety pack for the Super Bowl. There was mango, passion fruit, and regular. And it is so GD good. And it's, like, the same, like, calories and everything as regular Trulies.
Oh, my God. I love a lemonade-flavored drink.
Okay. Get into it. It's like a carbonated lemonade. It's so good. It was the hit of the Super Bowl party. Like, everybody was like, wow, so good. How do they make it with so little calories and no sugar? We don't understand.
You were at a really raging Super Bowl party.
Reading nutrition labels.
Everyone was like, wow, yeah, this is great. Like, what fucking proper Super Bowl party were you at? It actually sounds lovely. I think I would like it very much. So,
oh my God. Well, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Old Faithful,
my
red blend. Yeah, I think next week I might try something new.
You got to try one of these Truly lemonades. I'm telling you.
Yeah,
you'll be glad that you did.
Okay. That's what I'm on the hunt for.
Especially like the flavor ones. I'm drinking just the regular original lemonade, but the mango and the passion fruit were super good.
Oh my God. I made some mango guacamole last night.
Mango is life.
Dude, this mango, I'm not kidding. I wanted to like preserve it. It was the best fucking mango I ever cut into.
That sounds so good with guacamole.
It was like orgasmic. No, yeah, I make a mean guac. Not as good as my mom. I don't have a mojajete, but you know. I have in my mom's will, she's giving me her.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I don't have one either, but you know, whatever.
It does make a difference, but I make a mean guac. So yeah, mango guac, so good. Anyway, enough about mangoes.
Well, thanks for joining us, you guys. We're gonna be getting into things in just a minute. Just a couple quick reminders. You can support us. We're on social media, Instagram at Evening Booze Hour and Twitter at Evening Booze. So send us your story suggestions, your ideas, your questions, comments, concerns, complaints. Leave us a review on iTunes. That would be wonderful. Apple Podcasts, iTunes, whatever. I think it's the same thing.
I don't know.
Search us on there. And yeah, Patreon Saints, we love you. You can join our favorite people in the world. by donating at patreon.com/eveningboozehour for as little as $1 a month and get access to over 50 of our confidential confessions minisodes. I can't believe we're at the 50 mark now.
It's crazy. They're my favorite.
And just a quick update, Patreon Saints, we are not going to have a confidential confessions this week. I know it's time for one, but we have to kind of rearrange our schedule and have it go out next week. So look for that to come. Thanks for your patience on that one. Yeah. But go back and listen to like your favorite one again, you know?
Oh my God. They're so funny. I would probably die if I listened back to like we should listen to like the first one we did.
Oh my god,
that's
my worst nightmare. Yeah, it's my worst nightmare. To anybody new, like, who is considering becoming a Patreon Saint, we record these confidential confessions after we record our regular episodes, so we're usually at like the height of our buzzness of we're gonna be, you know, so
yeah, we're like just getting into the swing of it by the time we do the confidential confessions. Exactly. And then we're like, that was so good. We save everything. We give you the premium content on Confidential Confessions.
That's
only
right.
For our Patreon Saints.
Only for $1 a month. It can be yours. But yeah, so just wanted to make those announcements. But this past weekend was like the Super Bowl. I think America's still reeling a little bit. We're all still in a fog, like a food coma hangover.
Yeah, well, speaking of, I think you're drunk because you missed the drinking game.
Oh my gosh, I did. Oh, too many announcements to remember.
How dare you?
Okay, so the drinking game, my apologies. This goes a little something like this. We take a drink anytime we have a story out of Arizona, Texas, Florida, or Japan. Anytime we have a story about misogyny, anytime we say the word literally, anytime we have a disruption while we're recording, anytime we get the Nick Cage rage / love, anytime we talk about Canada, anytime we talk about Gwyneth Paltrow or Goop or anything related to that, and anytime we talk about Rihanna. So keep that in mind. Participate in all or some. Like, there's lots of options for everyone.
Yeah. And cheers. Because we're here.
January is over.
Oh, so glad. So glad to have you back.
it's definitely good to be back. So, yeah, I mean, it was a fun weekend to come back to drinking and eating meat and all that because it was the Super Bowl. Did you do anything, like, special? I mean, I know neither of us really... We're like, yay, sports, you know. We don't really care about either team.
Nope. We didn't do anything. And, like, if it's not the Patriots, nobody really does anything. You know what I mean? Like, around here. So, nope. We just kind of hung out and we were streaming some stuff, but I was mostly interested in like, okay, I have to watch the halftime show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just here for the snacks, here for the food.
Absolutely. Me too. The halftime show, the food. We had just had like a couple friends over. But yeah, like very casual, but just definitely an opportunity to like get together and eat. And like, what is your favorite Super Bowl snack?
Oh God. I love hot wings, like with the bone, like, but they have to be like a specific way.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We had hot wings. They were really good. Someone brought them.
Oh yeah. Like I can't, if it's the skin is like rubbery and like, it has to be like,
chewy.
Kind of,
they have to be like baked almost. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Baked. Yep. So if they're
I feel ya.
Yeah, so it has to be up to my level. And those are my favorite. But God, I love a nacho too.
Ooh, yeah. It's all about the dips for me. Like, we make this dip, and I'm sure everybody has made this dip in their life, but it's like my favorite freaking dip. It's you just get the packet, like the powder seasoning that you mix with sour cream, the green onion kind. It's just like your typical, whatever your grocery store brand is, you know, Kroger, whatever. And like, it's my freaking favorite thing on earth. And I only eat it for like
What
special occasions.
you just mix it with like sour cream.
With sour cream, yeah. And it's great
Yeah.
with vegetables. It's great with like chips. It's just great on like freaking everything. And we like only allow ourselves to eat it on special occasions, and Super Bowl is one of them.
That's so funny. Yeah, dips are good. Oh, I also love like, I mean, obviously, same thing. Like hot wing dip.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God, I make a good hot wing dip.
Or a
But
mac
the
and cheese.
Oh God, stop. Look at now I'm like drooling. Don't
You
bring
just
napkin
got me thinking
out.
of everything like I want now. I'm like, well, that would go good
My
with that.
God. Jalapeno poppers. So
Oh, yeah.
oh.
But yeah, I mean, we were there for the Super Bowl, but we were really there for the halftime show. So what did you think? It was okay. A year ago, you predicted J-Lo was going to be in the Super Bowl.
I mean, I wasn't going to bring that up because I didn't want to brag, but you're right.
No, you need to predict next year's. Who do you
I
think is going to be next year's?
don't know, but I heard someone else's prediction, so I feel like that's swaying my prediction
Okay.
because the girls on Comments by Celebs, or maybe it was the Morning Toast, I don't remember, but they predicted that Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, yeah, that's wholesome
Which I
America right
never
there.
would've, exactly, I never would have thought of
Yeah.
on my own, but I heard them predict that and I was like, oh my God, yeah, that's definitely, they're gonna go safe next year, I feel like. Bring it
Yeah.
back. Like the middle America.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe Ariana Grande. But not just her by herself. Like maybe her with some. I think they're gonna go like a guy and a girl. Kind of like when they did Beyonce, Bruno Mars, and like who else?
Okay.
Coldplay. Like they just had like a bunch of random people. I think they might go to like a random thing like that again. Like
Okay.
Ariana Grande, maybe Harry Styles, throw him in there. You know, like just some random.
They'll have like one person to please each like group
Exactly.
of people. Boxing. Okay.
I think they're, and,
Yeah.
but also same thing. They're gonna try and play it safe because. There are a lot of people out there who said this fiery halftime show was too sexy.
Oh, come on. Turn on any channel, scroll down your Instagram. Like, this is nothing.
Haters. So Shakira is 43, J-Lo is 50.
I
They
mean,
look freaking amazing. Gives me hope that like the best is yet to come. Like not that I'll ever look, you know, like them, but just like that you might look the best in your life at 50, you know.
Yeah. My friend and I met each other at the gym this morning, and we both were like, yeah, you see the halftime show last night? Yep. All right. We're like hitting the treadmills. We're like, she goes,
Vision
J-Lo
board.
50. I was like, yep, there's still hope.
Yep,
So.
exactly. And that's what was so great about it. Like, I think people who are a little, you know, offended by the sexiness is like, this was also just like celebration of Latina culture. They're in Miami. They're two like Latinas. And like, that's not considered like sexy. That's just like celebratory and having fun. And just like, stop being so racist is what I'm trying to
So
say.
yeah, like Dancing with the Stars is no less
Oh,
sexy. You
yeah.
know what I mean? So,
And
and
I'm like,
like
I'm sorry, you get what you get. It's J-Lo and Shakira. You didn't think they were going to shake their hips and show their ass? Like, come on.
God, Shakira, her hips don't lie. Come on. Oh, she is so I loved it. I loved it. Maggie, I know you are not a J-Lo supporter.
I know. I
So
thought about her, especially when she had the stripper poles.
yes. Maggie, skip ahead. You're not going to want to hear this. But
But
J-Lo
I
was
loved
so
Shakira
good.
though too. Like I was like, oh my God, like Shakira needs to make a comeback. She kind of like had kids when often, you know, hasn't been in the spotlight as much anymore. Well, I need Shakira back.
She's more of like a global icon. So like, you know, she's singing in different languages. And so she's not as big here when she doesn't have like an English kind of focused album. Because apparently, as what I've been reading, she is like the global Beyonce.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she has been like still out and about, but she hasn't like released any new like, you know, English speaking centric.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, but she's still out doing stuff. We're just probably not even on our radar, but like, I was just like, oh my God, I love Shakira. She needs to make a comeback. And I really think the person or the thing that won the halftime show was J-Lo's hair. I thought her hair looked incredible.
Her hair, goosebumps.
It was so good. All the body.
That is not right. Meanwhile, cut to my little ponytail. There's about 3 strands of hair in my ponytail, okay? It's so sad. J-Lo, give me some of your hair, please.
I was mesmerized by it.
It was literally a work of art. Like, never mind. Forget about her Versace outfits she was wearing.
Yeah,
you didn't even notice that because her fucking hair was so good. Literally. Yeah.
Well, I know you have some headline stories, but I figured we could just talk about this because I'm so excited to. But I came across this like random. I was just scrolling on my phone. It was like fate. I don't even know what app I had just been in. But this BuzzFeed article opened up with like 17 behind the scenes facts about this year's Super Bowl halftime show. So I thought I could just read a few of them and we'll post the article. So. So yeah. Okay. February 2nd, you know, was Groundhog Day. It was also Super Bowl Sunday. But it was also Shakira's birthday, and she turned 43.
Oh, my God. Happy freaking birthday. Cheers, Shakira, Shakira.
Yeah, oh Shakira, Shakira.
That's so awesome. But like,
talk about, like, the apex of life right there. Like, wow. You can sit down now. I mean, I want you to come back, but you can just take a nap forever now, Shakira. You're good.
Yeah. You have lived. Congrats. Wow. Awesome. Yay.
So both headliners invited featured artists who represented each other's cultures. And I learned about these two artists. I had no idea who the two rappers were that came on with them. But my friend who was watching the Super Bowl with us educated us afterwards. And so it was Bad Bunny, who he performed with Shakira, and he's Puerto Rican. So that's what J-Lo is. And then J Balvin performed with J-Lo, and he's Colombian. So like a nod to each other's cultures. Yeah. And so Bad Bunny, I guess, is this like rapper in the Latino community who is, my friend was describing him as like very fashionable, kind of flamboyant. Like in my mind, he was like a Latino Harry Styles. Like he's not. He's not LGBT, but he like has the painted nails and wears like body jewelry and stuff.
Okay.
And that's very, you know, against the Latino culture. So he's helping like break down some of those barriers and normalize that for the LGBT community, even though he's like not, I guess, necessarily out or anything.
Right. But he's an ally.
He's an ally. Yeah. And he's like, you know, just really into fashion. So he's kind of known for that. And then J Balvin is a performer who he's bilingual. He speaks English and Spanish, but he only does music in Spanish. Like that's his thing. So he won't.
Yeah. I've seen his name featured on some like latest hits, you know, like on Spotify.
Okay. Yeah. Like, yeah. Featured or, yeah.
Yeah. So I've seen his name before, but that's very interesting. Nice little behind the scenes tidbits. Little facts.
Yeah. Shout out to my friend Diana, who told us all about them.
Thank you for educating us.
Yeah. So one of my favorite parts was seeing J-Lo's daughter perform.
Oh my God. Can you even?
No.
Even. She is a star.
Oh, I mean, if anybody who follows J-Lo's Instagram will have seen her daughter perform before and know what a freaking force she is, like, at her young, young age. But her name is Emmy Maribel Munez, and she sang Get Loud during her mom's set, and Born in the USA. And there was, like, these subtle nods to, like, family separation policies at the border, so that all the little girls that were performing during that those songs were wearing, like, sweatshirts with the flag, like, embroidered on it, and then some of them were in these, like, circular cage looking structures, so, like, cages. And, you know, I didn't even notice that when it was happening. I mean, like, I appreciated the Born in the USA and, like, what they, you know, did. I love a good mashup, but yeah, I didn't catch those. So I love looking back, you know, the next day on what I missed.
Yeah. Oh my God. No, that was amazing. I was, like, tearing up during that part. Mm. It was amazing.
Her daughter.
How old is she? 12 or something?
Yeah, like 11 or 12.
Get out there on that stage. She fucking owned it. I mean, of course, look at who your mom is. So it's not that.
Well, yeah. And her dad, you know, I mean, she's got a voice.
Yep. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. She's going to be something else. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. J-Lo also had 5 outfits. So my husband's all about, like, little prop bets that you can do during the Super Bowl. And one was, like, how many outfit changes was J-Lo going to have? And you could bet on, like, the over under for that. So I guess they technically counted it as 5 outfits. We counted 3, but I think, you know, like, they counted the flag coat that was Puerto Rico on one side and the USA flag on the other side as, like, a outfit. And
oh, okay. Or when, like, when she came up on the stripper pole and she had that pink.
Yeah, exactly. I took that off. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
So, but I mean, yeah, obviously this is the biggest moment of their lives. Halftime show performers do not get paid. It's all just, like, for the exposure. And J-Lo's team, like, all the dancers involved, they spent 6 weeks of daily 9-hour rehearsals to prepare for it. So, you know, it's like,
wow. Well, I mean, how long was it? 12 minutes?
It's never long enough. I'm always like, give them more time.
I know, but they are straight performing.
Oh, exactly. Like, they would be dying, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Oh my God. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Oh, I loved it. I literally don't think there was, the only thing, Pitbull. Where was Pitbull?
Where's Pitbull? Yeah.
That's my
a lot of people said that. And I thought Gloria Estefan, they would, like, pull her out. She had performed in the past. I guess she had performed in 1992 and 1999. But, like, Miami Sound Machine, Gloria Estefan, like, these ladies wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her. So.
I know. Yeah, that was surprising.
But, yeah, I loved it. I loved all the Latino flair, like, you know, Miami, and, like, it just made me want to go there. It looks so fun. And
the best.
They are awesome. And supporting each other, like, they were just so cool about it, you know, from the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, like, 2 strong, like, powerful females working together, because they were, like, a lot of people thought J-Lo was headlining.
But right. It was
like a 50-50. Split. Yeah. It was like a 50-50 type thing. So a lot of people were, like, confused, but it's like, why can't they both share equally?
Yeah.
Like, why do we have to, like, do one woman getting more time? You know, it's like, we try to create ways to make, you know, women, like, against each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. And I was kind of surprised too. I was like, oh, wow. I thought it'd be, like, a little bit more blended, but they each had their own time, their own voice, and then blended it, you know, just the right amount. Like,
exactly.
It worked out so good. You know, and you have to think about that. Like, they can't, like, be rehearsing together all the time, you know, just because of their own schedule. So they have to come up with their own stuff and then find a way to blend it together.
Yeah. I thought it was amazing.
Amazing. Loved it. So yeah, we're going to get more into Super Bowl fun facts later on, but, you know, we have to get you up to speed on some weird news because that's what we do. So, Kate, let's talk about some headlines.
Okay, so I have actually one headline that you ended up sending me about none other than the Wienermobile.
And this was from Patreon St. Julie, who submitted it. So don't forget, you can submit your stories, eveningboozehour@gmail.com. Like, we love the random local submissions, please.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you for reminding me. I totally forgot it was from her. So, okay. Fun fact, I've been inside the Wienermobile before. Well, what? One of them. There are six.
Oh my God.
There are six. I went to the Ford Museum in Detroit, Michigan.
How do you know there's six from the museum? I'm like, that's some really specific knowledge about Wienermobiles.
It's actually, I think, in the article.
Oh, okay.
But so I sat on one and then, or, you know, it's in the museum, the Ford Museum. And then I made a little wax sculpture. You know how, like, at zoos you can get, like, a wax sculpture of, like, the white tiger or whatever. I have a hollowed out, like, cheap wax sculpture of the Wienermobile from the Ford Museum.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
The story was meant for you then. Who knew you were such a fan?
Little fun fact. I've got to find. There's a picture of me.
Send your Wienermobile fan art to Kate, you guys. We need some Wienermobile fan art, please.
My life would be.
Who can make that happen?
I have pictures of me, like, next to the Wienermobile with a huge smile, cheesing. Oh my God.
See this.
I gotta find those. But anyway, okay. So this story obviously involves the Wienermobile. And the Wienermobile, sadly, was pulled over. And of course, like, social media.
Right.
Yeah. So, okay. So this article says, what really happened on that fateful day with the Oscar Mayer. It's a question. Sorry. What really happened on that fateful day? It's all about inflection. I don't know. With the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
Oh, okay. I get it. Thank you. Thank you.
So in Wisconsin, there was a sheriff's office that was, like, tweeting this, I guess. And it said the driver of the Wienermobile was stopped and given a verbal warning by a Waukesha sheriff for not following the move over law. So I don't know what the move over law is. I guess, like, if there's a cop behind you, you have to pull over or something. I have no idea.
Or if you're going slow, like, be in the freaking slow lane, you know? Or, yeah.
Not be started on that. Do not. The left lane is for passing, okay? If you're not fucking passing the people in the right lane, get out of the fucking left lane or I will personally come and find you. I'm kidding. Don't mess with my road rage.
Oh my God. Kate's got the road rage.
I am bad. Okay. This is neither here nor there. Okay. Getting too personally involved.
You're scaring the people who are driving to work.
I'm just telling you.
She's behind me.
Okay. Yeah. Be scared. Okay. So it says the meat company Oscar Mayer owns six 27-foot-long Wienermobiles. And apparently one of them got burned. When the sheriff shared the photo of the pulled over hot dogger, fans couldn't wait to serve up a pun. Here are the five best we saw. So it's like puns people tweeted about the Wienermobile being pulled over. Number one, thanks for helping us catch up on these laws. I really relish these kind of posts. Yes. Yeah.
Oh my God. Next. Some people have too much time.
Yeah. I guess the Wienermobile driver just couldn't cut the mustard that day. Which I don't even know what that means. What does that even mean?
I know. Cut the mustard? I'm going to start saying
it. You can't cut mustard. It's like.
Right. Maybe that's part of the meeting.
Oh.
I don't know
about that later. Alexa, remind me to Google that later.
Oh, I just Googled it. Cut the mustard. come up to expectations, reach the required standard. So, I didn't cut the mustard as a hockey player, is the example. Yes.
Okay, we'll accept it. We will accept it. We accept. Number three, it's Wisconsin. The Wienermobile is the equivalent of the Queen's glass coach there.
Oh my God.
What? Number four, don't drive like a hot dog. What? This is the best that Twitter has come up with. Don't drive like a hot dog. Oh my God, I'm gonna pee my pants. Number five.
Should have been. Your joy is bringing me so much joy.
This one. Wait till you hear this one. Oh God. Should have been a Miss DeWiener. Just saying.
Oh. I like it.
Miss DeWiener. I cannot. So the Wienermobile. Also, I feel like we did a story about how they were trying to like hire drivers for the Wienermobile.
It didn't give me a lot of deja vu.
Yeah, I think, they're going to have one more opening, I feel like, so.
Yeah, you're not above the law, Wienermobile drivers, just because you're driving the most awesome mobile.
Yeah, seriously.
It's a privilege. It's a privilege to drive that, okay?
It is a privilege, not a right.
That's right.
Right?
Okay.
Right. So, this is, like, not really news, but Jessica Simpson has a new book coming out. I guess it's, like, an autobiography. Is it a memoir? No. Memoirs are, like, about one specific time of your life, right? Can we get another Google search here?
I think it's a biography. Did she write it?
Yeah. I think it's an autobiography, right?
Sure.
Biography? I don't know. Anyway, it's called Open Book, which is like such a genius name for a book, like about yourself, right? So smart. But she's on this tour before her book comes out, you know, talking about it. And this is...
Oh, yeah, she wrote it. She's listed as the author. Sorry.
Okay, yeah. So that's what I thought. I thought she wrote it. But she is, like, spilling all the tea. And it's insane. Because raise your hand if her Newlywed Show with Nick Lachey was, like, everything in your life at the time. Because
absolutely,
that was like the first like legit reality show.
Groundbreaking. But
that was the first. Oh my God, that was like. I remember her sister had a show, like Life of Ashley or something.
Oh God, the Simpsons children.
That was like before The Hills. Like, this is...
And before the Kardashians, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But Jessica Simpson's doing well anyway. She's, like, a billionaire.
And she's gone into, like, the fashion industry, and I love her fashion stuff. She's got great...
Oh, my God. I get confused. No, listen. She has maternity clothes, and they're so fucking cute.
Those are so cute.
I have Daisy Duke... little like jean shorts maternity, and I love them. They're so cute. They're like my favorite shorts. And I'm not
like some of her shoes. I've had sunglasses, like I've had a purse, like
super cute stuff. So anyway, but she's like going on all the talk shows, like spilling all the tea. I guess like after her and Nick split up, she like made out with Justin Timberlake, and then he immediately, like, texted Ryan Gosling and was like, I kissed her. Because, like, they had a bet from Mickey Mouse Clubhouse days that who would be, like, the first kisser. Yeah. Yeah. So Justin won, I guess, but did he really win? Because no, he's out there like openly cheating on his wife. So fuck you, shit. Justin Timberlake. Come at me.
Back up.
It's like
she's
Ben's
not
block.
Over it, like, Justin. We're not
so over. It's so 2019, and I just can't let it go. Justice for fucking what's her
Jessica.
Name? What's her name? Jessica. Another Jessica. They're both Jessica. Oh God. What's
Justice
happening?
For Jessica.
Okay. Justice. Episode title. Okay.
Definitely. And new movement. Okay. Jessica, you may not want it, but we're here for you.
We got to get that on merch. Justice. Listen, it's going to be a good book. And I think it should be our first EBH celebrity book, right?
We absolutely need to get this going. I think there are just too many good celebrity memoirs and autobiographies and biographies out there.
She is talking about
what, let us know
up you... with... no yes but seriously she's talking about when she was hooking up with John Mayer, okay?
Yeah. And we like all remember she that just, like in a super drunken haze for a lot of like her relationships, I feel like she's mentioned, and she's talked about some sexual abuse that she's had. Oh, it's yes. Like she is just an open book, like you said.
So perfect. I'm telling you, this book's going to be good. And I think I might read it, even though I've heard, like, I feel like I've heard so many stories out of this book already. Nothing's going to surprise me, but I guarantee you it will. Because you can't possibly know everything. This is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, yeah.
Isn't her dad, like, gay now? Like, not now, but, like, didn't her parents divorce and, like, her dad is living as, like, a secret, like, gay man? I don't want to out anybody.
So.
Yeah,
he was kind of weird and uncomfortable, and so it made sense, you know. But yeah,
he's always so just not like he just always looks so uncomfortable.
No,
so maybe Justin. Yeah, it needs to be an open book. Listen, we're here for you, Joe.
What happened to him?
I don't know. I think I literally think he lives like with a man, but it's like low key. But I'm really not trying to like out somebody here. But yeah. I think that's a good.
I just Googled it. It said there were rumors that he was cheating on his wife with a young male model. But they did split up. But like I'm not okay. Oh, okay.
No, so. I think it's like the John Travolta situation. You know, like everyone in Hollywood like knows. Yeah. But it's just not like public.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's a family, huh?
Yeah, that is a family to look into. Yeah, for sure.
And like her Ashley is married to Diana Ross's son.
Yeah, like what?
Yeah. And they're like so cute, by the way.
Yeah, they
and
are.
Like kids. Yeah. I'm like, wow, they've really turned it around.
Small world. It's such a small world.
It really is. Okay, so we'll all pick that book up, everybody.
Yes, let us know if you want to like get this book club going, and we'll like have special confidential confessions for book club members.
God, we'll start our own podcast about specifically Jessica Simpson's open book. Just for people who need
analyzing
to discuss
it.
Yes. Okay, so here's another, this is just like my last kind of, I guess this is semi-pop culture corner or whatever. So a lot of people probably saw this. Okay, well, so first I should say that Taylor Swift came out with her documentary, which, oh God, I don't have the name of it. It's like Miss America.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess it's like an hour and a half. I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it either. I'm intrigued, but I'm not
I think I might watch it like when I know research. I'm going to be have alone time because I know my husband would not be interested in watching that at all. But so she just over the weekend came out with this documentary. Okay, so that's like important to know first thing. So there's this girl, Nikki Glaser, who is a stand-up comedian. She has specials on Netflix. She's pretty like raunchy, and she's like skinny, hot blonde, like raunchy comic. So she posted either on Instagram or Twitter, this is what she said. "I love Taylor Swift. Unfortunately, I'm featured in her new documentary as part of a montage of asshats saying mean things about her, which is used to explain why she felt the need to escape from the spotlight for a year. It's insanely ironic because anyone who knows me knows I'm obnoxiously obsessed with her and her music. I first heard myself in the trailer last week as I watched it alone in bed. As soon as it came out, because I was so excited, and I was horrified to hear my own voice. The soundbite was from an interview I did 5 years ago, and I say in such a shitty tone, 'She's too skinny. It bothers me. All of her model friends.' And it's just like, come on. This quote should be used as an example of projection in Psych 101 textbooks. If you're familiar with my work at all, you know I talk openly about battling some kind of eating disorder for the past 17 years. I was probably feeling fat that day and was jealous. Also, I've had people say the same shit about me being too skinny before and know how terrible it feels to hear that when you're struggling. And I was only bothered by her model friends because I'd like to be her friend and I'm not a model. I really have no need to post this other than to apologize to someone who seriously means so much to me. I only got a couple death threats from diehard Swift fans, which as one myself, I totally get. So while I'll consider going to die in a hole, you motherfucking asshole, quote unquote, I just hope this somehow gets to her so she knows I'm sorry for any pain I caused her and that I'd love to be her friend someday when I start modeling and tell her how much her music has influenced my life in comedy. In fact, her song, The Man, is the inspiration for my new hour of material that I feature the song. Oh, and I feature the song is multiple. Okay, whatever. Anyway, so she posted this whole thing. I didn't need to read that whole thing. Basically saying,
I knew nothing about
that. I was featured in her documentary, like as in a montage of people saying like hateful things towards her. So Taylor Swift herself posted under her original post, "Wow, I appreciate this so much. And one of the major themes about this doc is that we have the ability to change our opinions over time, to grow, to learn about ourselves. I'm so sorry to hear that you've struggled with some of the same things I've struggled with. Sending a massive hug." So first of all, she didn't need to reply or acknowledge this at all. Right. So, and you know, if you've ever listened to this podcast, that we are not the hugest Swifty fans, or whatever they're called, Swifty. I'm more just kind of indifferent to her, I would say. I'm not like a hater or anything. But I thought this was really like big of her, and it made me like appreciate her and be like, maybe I will check out her documentary.
Do you think that Nikki Glaser was like genuine in what she was saying? Because like I do the only part that made me question it was like she kept saying like, when I become a model, you know, like throwing that in, which is actually funny, you know, but like
that's like her, definitely like her personality. But she is like her humor, I'm not really that into. Like, I just think she's so over the top, like raunchy sometimes, and whether you're female or male, like that's just not my humor, you know. Like, okay, it's kind of funny to a point, but I really like her as like a person, because I've heard her on a few podcasts, and I don't follow her on social media, but she seems really just like what you see is what you get, genuine. Like, I don't think she would post this unless she legit meant it. And I think when she was on the Comments by Celebs podcast, she was like, went there with a Taylor Swift sweatshirt on. Like, and they, those girls, like, were like, she is actually like her biggest fan. So they knew, like, she really does love her. And she must have felt so fucking shitty when she saw that documentary. Like, could you imagine? And
I mean, Taylor is kind of like the queen of calling you out too. So she probably heard like, oh, I'm in her documentary, but like didn't know how, and then saw it and was like, oh shit.
Yeah. And he's basically coming out saying like, I've like, this is projection. Like I was just jealous, basically.
Right.
And exactly. She's owning up to it. And it was 5 years ago. Of course, as we know, like in this day and age, you can't say anything on social media or on an interview or anything that is going to ever be out there because it will come back to you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Proof.
So a lot of people are apologizing for stuff like that, too. Yeah.
Yeah. And it is showing that you can change your ways and you can grow.
I know. It's like, isn't it better to have them like on the right side now than not at all? You know?
Right. Right. And so I like applaud Taylor for saying like, wow, this really took like kind of a lot of guts. Cause not many, especially women, like women to other women, it's always like a contest and, you know, like they're always pitted against each other. So this I thought was like a good example of like, somebody did something wrong and kind of apologized for it. And the other woman was like, you know what? Like, thank you so much for saying this. Yeah. Accepting it and not like harping on it and keeping it going and whatever. So I just thought
it's a housewives route.
Yes. My God. And then there's that, like, you think, oh my God, like women are coming so far. Then you watch fucking Housewives and you're like, what the fuck, adult women? Like, I cannot. But so good job, Nikki and Taylor. I just thought this was like another example of female empowerment.
Yeah, women supporting women, like big theme this week, you know, forget about the game. Oh yeah, we didn't even mention like Kansas City Chiefs won. But I think, you know, has Taylor ever done the Super Bowl? I don't think so. She would probably be next year now that you bring that to my attention. But you also were just telling me a good point, like before we recorded.
Yeah. So a lot of people want Taylor to do the halftime show, but lest we forget, she is a longtime Diet Coke sponsor. No. Not sponsor.
Yeah. Ambassador.
Yeah. So
the face of Diet Coke.
Yes. She is basically the face of Diet Coke for the past several years. And as we all know, the halftime show is sponsored by Pepsi.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are saying she, like, they would never take her because she's like known for being Diet Coke. So, but I guess that contract is over, but still like, it might take time. I don't know. I mean, of course, she would put on a good show. She's like a Beyonce, you know, like, you know, you're going to see a good show if you have them do the absolute. They're going to do something good.
And so, if they want to, like, appease middle America, like, Taylor Swift is freaking genuine, you know, as it gets at that level.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So we'll see if that happens in the near future. It might take a couple of years. So sit tight. So yeah, I think that's all I have.
Okay. Well, like, I mean, speaking of people who should be in the Super Bowl, I haven't done a sports story this year in 2020 so far. So I decided to look up some fun facts about the Super Bowl and then also a little bit of dark history behind the Super Bowl. So.
Ooh, I love a good dark history.
You know I love to go dark, everyone. So
you do. Dark, dark, dark.
It what wouldn't be a Liz report. It wouldn't be the Super Bowl if I don't make you feel down.
Oh my God. And I can't wait. I can't wait.
Okay, but starting with the fun stuff. So probably many of you know this, but the Super Bowl is the second biggest eating day of the year after Thanksgiving.
Yes, I believe that. I believe that.
Yep. But the rumors about the sewage systems failing because of that are just, in fact, rumors, according to this article.
I've never heard that.
Oh, you haven't? So my husband actually, like, was in a class, maybe in college or high school, I'm not sure, and they did a tour of, like, the waste management system, and that's what they told him on this tour, so he, like, totally believes this. Yeah. This article says that that's just a rumor.
Oh, my God, that's so funny. I've never heard that.
They said, like, halftime is, like, the busiest, like, time for them because that's when everyone goes to the bathroom.
Yeah, fucking right. I go into the bathroom during the game.
Exactly. Not women.
Yeah, you think it's the opposite because, like, most people just want to see the commercials. Like, think about, like, the diehard fans of each team. You only have so many people who are, like, diehard fans of that, either one of the teams. Everyone else, you might be like, oh, I'd really like that team to win. But, like, most people, right, if you don't have your team in it, are pretty indifferent. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I feel like you're not waiting to go to the bathroom unless it is, like, your team, right?
Yeah, that makes sense, you know. So that's probably why it's just, like, a rumor, you know. I mean, everybody thinks that. But it is, like, the second highest, like, food consumption day. Yum. So, you know how a lot of times after you win the Super Bowl, you say, like, I'm going to Disney World.
Yeah.
So I guess Phil Sims with the Giants was paid a lot of money, $75,000, to shout, I'm going to Disney World on the field. And Disney, yep, Disney also paid the Denver Broncos, John Elway, the same amount to yell the same thing just in case his team won.
Are you kidding me?
It's the biggest exposure, right? Like, it's all about advertising and marketing. That's really what the Super Bowl is about.
Yeah. Well, how much is a commercial? Almost $6
million. $6 million for, like, a 30-second commercial. It's insanity. Yeah. So, yeah, if they can just get him to say that, like, the original influencers.
Yeah, yeah, seriously. Oh, my God, that's so funny. So true, though.
Okay, let's see. Just,
like, pay for me to go to Disney, please, everybody. Also, I have been to Disney. I've been to Disneyland, right?
Yes.
Which one's here? Yeah, Disneyland is in California, yeah. I've been to Disneyland, right?
You've been to one of them. I think that's good enough.
Yeah, okay. I'm just not big into lines.
Well, you don't have to wait in line as much anymore now. You can get these fast pass things, so you have, like, appointments to come for the rides. Yeah, lines are a thing of the past.
Okay, maybe I'll give Disney World a try. Maybe. Well, if I win the Super Bowl.
See if they'll pay for you to go if you yell it after you win the Super Bowl.
At the end of this episode, I'm going to yell, I'm going to Disneyland, and they're going to pay me to go to Disneyland. Okay.
There you go. And tens of listeners.
Speak it into existence.
Okay, let's see what else. So two teams are tied for the most Super Bowl wins. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the New England Patriots are tied for the record for most Super Bowl wins. And they each have six.
That's it?
Yeah. Oh,
that was going to be.
There's only been 54 Super Bowls, and so then San Francisco and Dallas each have five. So the San Francisco 49ers could have won last Sunday, but they didn't. So they could have joined the six timers.
That's why I was rooting for Kansas City, because I knew they were kind of like the underdogs, and I always go for the underdog.
Yeah, they hadn't won in 50 years. Oh, yeah, this is funny. Yeah. Okay. Super Bowl fans would really like to see Weird Al Yankovic do the halftime show.
No.
So, yeah. A 2014 change.org petition to have Weird Al Yankovic headline the Super Bowl received more than 100,000 signatures.
That's fun fact, I used to be obsessed with Weird Al in like fifth grade.
You're like blasting Weird Al on the Weenie Mobile.
Yes, Amish Paradise. Remember Amish Paradise?
Yes.
That shit was so
good.
My
husband likes Weird Al. I never really got into him, but
like currently, I loved him.
Well, he loved him.
Funny. And then that Peaches song. Remember the Peaches song?
Anyone? Eat a lot of peaches. Millions of.
Yes. Oh. Yes. Yes.
Gonna eat a lot of peaches.
Yeah, going to the country, gonna eat a lot of peaches. Having like such like PTSD right now. We gotta move on. We gotta
flashback. Okay. All right, here's a few more. So, you know, when it comes to accommodations for the Super Bowl, the host city has to be able to accommodate a lot of people. And sometimes they have to get creative. So when Jacksonville, Florida, hosted the Super Bowl in 2005, they didn't have enough hotel rooms to meet the NFL requirements. So their bid to serve as the host, in order to make that happen, they had to recruit 5 docked cruise ships to serve as floating hotels.
No way.
Yeah.
So people were just cruise ships. Wow.
Yeah. As the hotel. Interesting.
I see. I wouldn't even want to go within a 200-mile radius of wherever they were having the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Because it just sounds like a nightmare.
It seems like craziness. Like, the only way to do it is if it's like in a suite and you're filthy rich, you know? So like, then there's no other way to do it.
Oh, for sure. Wow. I mean, it has to be. Well, wait. Did you find anything of like, well, 54. So that means they've had it in 54 places. But have they done the Super Bowl in the same place? They must have.
I didn't think about that, but I would think they probably have at this point.
Yeah. How many teams are there total?
I don't know. What am I? Reporter.
Listen, you're doing this segment and you better know every fucking statistic.
You're like coming at me with your Super Bowl questions. Like, come on, I'm just reading an article.
Can we call a friend? I'd like to call Andy. He would know. Andy, help a sister out. Oh my god.
But yeah, that's a good point. This other one that I thought was really cute, speaking of like the history of the Super Bowl, Super Bowl I halftime show.
Who was it?
It was 2 marching bands, an acclaimed trumpeter, Al Hurt, 2 men in jetpacks, and 300 pigeons.
What?
Just imagine all of that. The jetpacks, like the fucking Rocketeer. Like, what is going on?
This has a great movie, by the way. This has to be recorded on, right?
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, it was televised, I think, in 1967. So, if that was the first one, then yeah.
Okay, I'm putting this in my search history. First Super Bowl halftime show. I've got to watch, because that was in the 60s. It's got to be, right?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we can find it, or it has to be somewhere.
Wait, first halftime show was in 1991 with New Kids on the Block and Gloria Estefan.
Maybe that was like the first Pepsi one, or like, you know, sponsor run. This one?
Yeah.
Well, one halftime show, trumpeter. Al Hurt breaking it down with 300 pigeons and 2 marching bands.
Yes. Wow. Interesting. Very interesting.
Well, that all happened. And then, let's see. Do I have any more for you? Yes. This is the last one. A record amount of money is being legally bet this year in 2020 on the Super Bowl.
So, okay, and And what do you mean legally? Like through...
The only place you can do sports betting is in Las Vegas. So this money, $325 million, will be legally bet on the Super Bowl, which is apparently a record number, in Las Vegas. So, yeah.
And now, do you have to go to Las Vegas to make these bets?
You can make a bet anytime you're in Las Vegas. Like you could have gone there like 6 months ago and bet on the Super Bowl, like who you thought it was going to be or whatever. And like you would get your odds at that time and they would give you like a ticket. And then if you win, you can like send it in or something like that, you know?
Right. Because I'm sure they have all different, you can bet on so many different things before the teams are even picked.
Exactly. Yeah. Or like if you, you know, it was a lot, maybe it was a long shot and you just like made a random bet and then they end up do getting into the Super Bowl, you know?
Right. Oh, then you'd win huge. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, those are just some fun facts, but, I wanted to look a little into the history of the Super Bowl, like the dark kind of history. And a lot of people probably know about this, but it's a story that comes out of one of our drinking game words, Arizona.
I love me some Arizona news. What so is
take
happening?
A drink. Take a drink. So this is about the time the state of Arizona lost the Super Bowl because the state did not recognize Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
I mean,
what?
Grow up. Grow up, Arizona.
And I'm from Arizona, and I, like, knew about this, like, on the periphery, but I didn't really know all the details. So it was interesting looking it up. I learned a lot. But, and this is not that long ago. So this was in 1991 in March.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Oh, I'm telling you.
My fucking God.
Like, okay. Racism is alive and well.
Rampant. Wow.
Okay. So on that in March, NFL owners voted to remove the 1993 Super Bowl from Phoenix after Arizona voters failed to make Martin Luther King Jr. Day a paid holiday.
Like, I just thought it was automatically, like, everywhere a thing.
Well, so what happened was President Reagan signed the bill into law, establishing it as a national holiday in 1986. And then that Arizona governor at that time, Bruce Babbitt, followed suit. Okay, now it's a state law, you know, whatever. So this is 1986. Then after Babbitt was out of office, the next governor, Evan Meacham, rescinded the decision, explaining that the governor didn't have the authority to decide by himself on a new paid state holiday.
God.
So he had to put it to a vote. Even though it was like law of the land everywhere else, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Never mind that it was how many years after he was killed. Like
exactly.
And when, like when did that happen?
Last days.
Like, you know,
please. Freaking 1991. Come on. So like, and at the time only 3% of Arizona's population was black. So that is definitely a factor in this. And the NFL, you know, as you know, most of the players are African-American. So they, you know, were threatening to protest if that.
It's like not even about, oh, how many like African-American, like Martin Luther King Jr. was for justice. Like no matter what color your skin is, like you should be applauding him. I'm sorry.
Well, and what gets me is, so they put it to a vote, the new governor did, and the voters turned it down. These people would rather not have the day off of work. Like that is how racist they are.
Like, wow. That is
Like, you have the decision to, like, keep having the day off of work and celebrate a great man, but no.
Please, Massachusetts, they're like, oh, okay, it's the third Monday of the month, then it's a holiday. We fucking love a good
You guys do. Day. You do love a good state holiday. But, yeah, I mean.
Love a good holiday.
All of these famous people, like Stevie Wonder and Public Enemy and U2 and even Martin Luther King's widow, Coretta Scott King, they, you know, had all these boycotts against the state in 1988, and then the governor was impeached a year later, and then the state legislature approved the holiday, but by the time it got to that point is when it required a vote, and that's when it was like voted down.
My God.
It's now a holiday there now, people. I don't actually know when that happened, but the NFL had already, like, they knew, okay, they were tracking this. Like, they knew that might be a decision that was going to happen, but they decided to go ahead and announce that they were going to go and have it in Phoenix anyways. But then after the vote happened, they were like, no, we can't do that. You know, we don't want to get involved politically. Like, all of our players are African-American, you know, for the most part. So what the heck? So they ended up moving it to Los Angeles, which had just hosted the 1984 Summer Olympics and the 1987 Super Bowl. So now this confirms that it's definitely been hosted in L.A. at least twice.
Interesting. Okay.
And they have the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. So they have, like, a venue where they can host it. It was well equipped. They had enough hotels, like, all that. It was an easy and move.
Good weather.
Exactly. Phoenix to L.A., like, not that much different. So that's where it was held, but Phoenix missed out on nearly $200 to $250 million in revenue that the Super Bowl would have brought in.
Wow.
So yeah, there you go. I mean, there's a little, that's the only time it's been moved. And so it's interesting that it's tied to sort of a social political, issue. And right now there's a lot of, you know, issues with the NFL and the African American community too. So it seems like,
oh, did you see, this is what I was gonna ask you. Have you seen that thing about, like, Jay-Z and Beyonce were sitting during the national anthem?
I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah. And Colin Kaepernick and his, is it his, like, wife or just partner? They like retweeted something about, like, how they were sitting during the national anthem.
Oh, interesting. I didn't see that. But yeah, I did see about Jay-Z and Beyonce sitting. And, like, you know, it's interesting. I'm like, some part of me is like, why not just, like, boycott it and not go? But it's, like, also, like, the biggest party of the year. A lot of people are contractually obligated to be there, I feel like, too.
But it is, because Jay-Z, like, supposedly took this, you know, I don't know what he has a contract or whatever with the NFL as a,
oh, I think
I'm like taking contract and I'm going to make it better. Instead of like kneeling and boycotting, I'm going to be a part of this and like make it better.
He got a lot of flack for doing that when he had been with Cavs.
Yeah, exactly. So he and Colin Kaepernick kind of like butted heads over this. And now it's like, oh, he's sitting during the national anthem. Like, now he wants to, like, sit and support. Like, so there's something going on there, which we may or may not hear anything more about. But it was just a little interesting tea.
Yeah. When I had seen someone on, I think it was, like, a talk show or a red carpet, kind of within the last few weeks, I don't remember who it is, like, so I shouldn't even say, but it was a like comedian, like an African-American comedian, and she was being interviewed and they asked her if she was excited about the Super Bowl halftime show. And she said she thought it was like a safe choice because having like an African-American artist would have maybe, you know, the NFL might have been afraid they would have done something that would have been a statement, you know, that it was all this controversy, which I don't really think that would, I mean, yes, but I'm also like, what's freaking wrong with having two Latinas like headline the show when it's in Miami too, you know, like that's just like the culture, you know. I feel like that was a really smart choice.
Right, but then it's like, are they just like exploiting it because they'll get more money out of it, but they're not really like supporting that community really unless it's giving them money. So who fucking knows? I don't know. I know Amber V is very against the NFL and yeah, it's something definitely to look into if you're interested.
Yeah.
Because you can go down a little rabbit hole.
Been super a fan of the NFL. And I mean, yeah, just the way they've handled domestic abuse situations too is like, God.
I mean, it's like a huge company. It's like any other huge company. It's fucking like, did you see that thing about Victoria's Secret? The two like head people of Victoria's Secret just like, years and years of sexual like abuse and harassment and
I didn't see that, but I don't doubt it at all.
Oh my god, there's a thing in the New Yorker, I think it's in the New York article, New York Times article about the two head guys of Victoria's Secret. Like, and you know, the sad part is I'm like, this is the least shocking thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, it's just exactly. to be expected that these two old white men were just like commenting on how like Bella Hadid had like the best tits ever, you know, like,
yeah, exactly.
Like the really shocking thing, taking advantage of like young women. It's like, ugh,
anyway. It's become like so commonplace. I mean, that was like the crazy thing about like the Me Too movement is just how overwhelming amount of people that came out, because it is so normal now. It's like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just so, it was just like so known and accepted, like in that community of like models and whatever, like they just knew you don't speak out against it because who are you? You're just some young woman trying to,
if you want to keep working. Yeah.
So they just knew what they were doing, which makes it even worse. It's so bad. It's so bad. Anyway, well, thanks for taking us deep again.
Yep. We went down some dark paths. I'm always guaranteed to take you there. So yeah, I just thought that was interesting. Super Bowl trivia that not maybe is a little lesser known. But last week I did a story about furries and the furry community and a couple of furry heroes. After that, our Patreon Saint Shannon actually found a BuzzFeed fursona quiz, which is freaking amazing.
Yeah. We didn't even have to make it ourselves. It's already made. So
it exists. I had no idea. She sent it to us. How she found that, I don't know.
She's amazing. She's amazing. Yeah, so this is a quiz that tells you which unique fursona you should have. And you know what? After talking about it and I asked you which fursona you would be, and you said Tony the Tiger, Tony with an I, and I'll never forget that till the day I die. And I couldn't think. I was like, I just couldn't think on my toes. But then after thinking about it, I was like, I would be the female hormone monstress on Big Mouth.
Yes.
Honey.
Bubble balls.
It's like a bubble barrel. I would be Connie from Mouth. But that's not who this quiz gave me as who what my persona should be.
Like, this quiz gave me like actual animal. And like, I think what we had read is like, it kind of has to be a character, like you're saying, you know, typically. But you can make your character around this animal.
Yeah, I think you really can just make anything you want. I literally think you can just be like, I'm going to be like a dog, but like a cute, sexy dog.
Remember, it doesn't have to be sexy.
Oh, right. It's not Halloween. It's not college Halloween. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So
we've all done a persona in college. Come on.
What was your college fursona? Okay. So which animal did you get?
Well, I got just the sexiest animal there is, really. Like, I would be too scared to be this because people wouldn't know what to do around me. But I got the wombat.
Me too.
Yes. And it's kind of dead on, I feel like.
Yes. Okay, read it. What does it say?
It says, you're soft and adorable, but a little stubborn at times. You always light up a room. That is, if you actually feel like going somewhere.
It's 100%. Yeah. 10 out of 10. Exactly correct. Wombat.
Oh. I thought you would have gotten a different one because there were a couple answers that I was like, I think Kate would have, you know, gone the opposite on them. So interesting.
No, the old wombat. I didn't even check to see what the other answers were. God, I always forgot that.
It's pretty cute. So we'll post the link. You guys can find out what your fursona is. Then you can be it for Halloween. And then you can use hashtag EBH Halloween to show us what you were.
Make it fashion. Make it sexy.
Exactly. Fursona, but make it fashion. Wombat. Sexy wombat.
It's so me. Oh my God. Well done. Welcome back to...
Oh, I did it.
You did it. And congrats and cheers. And I look forward to next week. What is the news going to hold in this next week.
We have no idea, but we do know that that's all the news that's fit to drink this week. But we love you. Take care.
Yeah. See you next week. Cheers. See ya.